Amen. In just a little while, we'll be taking our communion together, and as is our custom, this is a combination of our sermon and communion, which we have dubbed our sermunion. So I like to say I made that up. Other people say they made it up, but I have the copyright, so there it is. We're going to look at Acts chapter 2 this morning. Turn our Bibles there. And our theme for the year is You, Not Me. And so our focus is on God and not just ourselves and on others and sharing and caring, preparing, and prayer are the focuses. Each quarter, studying out something different. Prayer was our first quarter. Share is our second quarter. And that's what we're talking about today is sharing. Before we do that, I want to take a second to take a moment of silence. Memorial Day is an opportunity for us to honor those who have passed while they've served armed services. And so I'd like to take just a minute of silence to honor those at this time. Let's do so. Amen. While we honor those that have passed who serve in the armed services, we'd also like to honor those of the living or among us who have served in our armed services as well. If we could have you stand up and you could be honored at this time, we'd like to do that. Thank you. Thank you for your service. I am the child of a veteran, which means I never had a place to live. We lived every 2 years. We traveled somewhere else. We moved. We were at one base and another base in Fort Meade 20 times and somewhere in Virginia and San Antonio and Colorado. And, you know, you name it, we lived there. I lived everywhere in the U.S. you can think of. That's hyperbole, but it feels that way. And the bottom line is that family is so important. No, the bases weren't always family for us. They were family in one sense that there was camaraderie. My dad was an army doctor, and so there was some of that. But you guys, nothing like what we have in God's kingdom. And so I want us to take a look at Acts chapter 2 this morning. And many of us are celebrating graduation. The graduations have been a lot of fun. My daughter had a graduation yesterday. I'll talk about it in just a little bit. And so many graduation parties going on, and if you're not careful, you spend a lot of money at these parties as you travel from one to the other because we are family. Come on, bring it on. That's fine. Okay. If we could bring Acts chapter 2 on the board there on the screen. There we go. And so in verse 42, the Bible says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe. And many wonders and signs were performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property, possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. It's a passage that we know very, very well for those who have maybe been Christians for a while. Acts chapter 2, this particular passage from 42 to 47 is paramount to the way that we live our lives. And so our fellowship, the way that we commune, the commonalities that we have all come from the spirit of Acts chapter 2. Matter of fact, it's funny, as we had our graduation party yesterday for Cynthia, who's just graduated college, and so we are free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty. No, I'm just playing. We actually are not free, but in Christ. Amen. But she's going on to bigger and better things, and we'll tell you about that at another time. But the bottom line is, it was so encouraging. We had people come from New York City. Where, anybody from New York come to the party yesterday? Are you here? Can you stand up for us if you came to the party and visited with us yesterday? Thank you very much for doing that. And I see a couple other faces, Mike Walker and Petal here, and Uriel and Robin came, so many people. And the young lady that studied the Bible with Cynthia and baptized her was there. It was so encouraging to have her there. And no matter the separation or the time, it feels like family. And then we had so many of you, the Martins, and so many came of you guys came, the college students and older, more mature people, the Yangs, came on out. And it felt like family. It felt so much like family. And I wondered, What is so different about this fellowship? And I think the spirit of it is embodied in what we read in Acts chapter 2, 42 through 47. A couple things that come to mind about this passage, and we'll look together here again. You can bring that back up on the board, on the screen there. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and signs were performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. And so I bring up this Greek word that some of us are familiar with, koinonia. And koinonia is the spirit of fellowship. It is fellowship itself. And it has to do with commonality. It has to do with shared goals and dreams. It has to do with fellowship. The word actually is translated fellowship here in Acts chapter 2. But it has to do with us having everything in common as a family. That's pretty cool stuff. Koinonia is this idea that we share all commonality together. It says they had everything in common. And they shared all things. And so don't be selfish when we have the Memorial Day picnic, amen? We share everything in common, the ribs, the pulled pork, all of it. Don't be hiding it. And you, I know you got some good stuff you may put to the side to later. We want to share that stuff too, amen? We're coming for it. But they had everything in common, and it wasn't just about food. The spirit of koinonia is embodied in the fact that Jesus died and was resurrected. And the heart of this is about this. You have these people, these Parthians, Medes, residents of Mesopotamia, all these different cultures that came together in Acts chapter 2. They were all of Jewish descent, and so they had religion in common, but they did have different cultures. The thing that brought them together, that superseded culture, that superseded race, that superseded choice, that superseded, you know, the things they liked and disliked, was the fact that Jesus died and was resurrected for them. And so because of that, they came together, 3,000 people, plus the 120 that were already there, and they had everything in common. We can't have commonality between a husband and a wife. Imagine 3,120 people together. And we got one brother clapping. We will talk after service. And so here you got all these people who have everything in common. And does that mean they like the same television shows? There's no television. It's an anachronism. But, you know, they didn't have television. Did they like all the same foods? That's not what they're saying. It's saying the Spirit of God, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, what they were motivated to be was because of him. And they came together to dispense of the things that hindered them from sharing in the purpose, mission, privilege of Jesus Christ himself. And sometimes our choices get in the way of the purpose of Jesus. Sometimes our cultural things, affects and things that we love get in the way of our ability to really make Jesus Lord. And here was a group of people of all different cultures, maybe one similar religion, that was Judaism at the time, as they become and understand that they had put Jesus on the cross, they were ready to put that aside, say Jesus is Lord, and share in the commonality of Christ. And that distinction allowed them to share their lives in such a way that it distinguished them from the whole known world at the time. And they became known as Christians. They, unlike any other group, embodied who Jesus was. And today, that's what the cross should do for us. It says they shared all things in common, as one of the statements it makes. But one of the other things, as we drop down, it says they sold property in verse 45 and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and were together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. The Bible says they stood in attention and awe of who God was because they were redeemed. And they would rather be together in their poverty than be separate in their wealth. And so they shared so that everyone would have something so we could be together and have commonality and build family. That's what the church is all about. And so many times we're so independent, so focused on our own lives, on our own goals, on our own dreams, on what we want to achieve, that we negate the understanding of what it means to be true family. This is about us being family, not just feeding each other on Memorial Day or just remembering those that have passed. But we get to come together because we have something that the world does not have. Let me say it again. As Christians, we have something that the world does not have. I know that may not be politically correct, but the truth of the matter is, not only do we have the redeemed Savior that has allowed us to be saved, but because that we are motivated to be something other than ourselves in Jesus Christ that calls the whole world out of loneliness, that calls the world out of poverty, that calls them something great in Jesus. You call them. And we share that as Jesus shared it with us, that the world may know that we are disciples only because he died for us. So cool having family. And we were walking with Steve Johnson on Monday. I'm going to show a video, not today, that he made for us. And we were walking in this park in Elk Ridge. And as we're walking, we're meeting different people. We met this young lady, Sophia. And, we're just talking. And I don't know, Sophia just seemed like someone, one of those people you meet that you've known your whole life. And we're talking and start talking about God, and we're talking about this, and we're talking about music, and we're talking about theater, and we find out that she's at UMBC, and she knows Cynthia, and saw her play, and all this kind of, she knows, you know, whatever, other people. And my wife, out of nowhere, says, you know, we're having a graduation party for my daughter, why don't you? That's my wife. She'll invite someone to someone else's party. She does that. That's what family does. They speak in we. They never speak in I. It's about you. Come to our party. It may not even be at her house, but it's our party. We're all having a party. We are a family. You, as we go from table to table during the Memorial Day picnic, share in our food. She didn't cook the food. Sophia came to the party. And really, it felt like family. And then she's here today. She came to church today this morning. We just met her. I'm so cool. But, you know, I don't know about you. That may seem weird in other circles. But in a family that's only concerned about helping other people to be part of the family, you're always wanting. It's like that commercial, the raccoons from Geico. When you have bad food, you want to share it with somebody? Well, we actually have good food, and we want to share that with somebody. Amen? Yesterday, I made a mistake. My daughter was given a gift from Thais Porter of a peach cobbler. I did not know it was a gift exclusively for my daughter. So Thais comes and says, I have the peach cobbler. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, peach cobbler. So I make an announcement. Hey, everybody, we got peach cobbler. Why? Because we're family. That's what family does. And my daughter's not keep. We don't have anything exclusive. I did make another announcement and hide it in the house later on, but that's another story. The point I'm trying to make is family is about sharing all good things with one another. And I want to encourage us, but I do want to challenge us a little bit. Sometimes we get to the place where our Western culture affects us so much that we forget in this Eastern religion that Jesus started, it was about caring and sharing and taking care of other people. Not just with food, but connecting with our emotions, giving of our time, engaging with our energy, loving people with deep compassion, and being selfless. And I think as a whole, we have an amazing church. But this is always another place that we can grow in, is to be even more caring and sharing. So as we think and take the communion today, we're going to commune and we take the Lord's Supper. It says they broke bread in their homes. And one of the misconceptions, I want to make sure, because it's an opportunity to say this here, that they met in the temple courts. They met in the temple courts because they were Jewish people, and that's what they were known to do. They were excommunicated from the temple and then began to meet in the homes out of necessity. It wasn't their first choice, but out of necessity, they began to gather in homes. And they gathered in homes anyhow to break bread and have dinners together and have meals together, not just the communion. But the original place that they met was in the temple courts in large groups. Until they were excommunicated from that group, from the temple courts, and couldn't do so, and then were out of necessity and persecution, met in small groups. I think we need to make both things an opportunity, take advantage of both things. The opportunity to meet in groups like this builds one circle of family, but certainly the opportunity to meet in small groups builds another circle of family, and we should not negate either. We should not negate either. Both are essential to building up God's church. So as we commune later on in smaller groups at our tables with our little Bible talks or whatever the families you brought out, we need to remember that we get to do so because of the resurrection of Jesus. We get to have this because of the resurrection of Christ. We get to do this because Jesus loved us enough to give his life. To give his life so his purpose would be fulfilled. Let's not stop sharing, engaging, and loving people the way that Jesus loved us. Let's go to God in prayer at this time. Let's pray. God, we love you so much. And we're so thankful for the opportunity to break bread. God, we now celebrate the communion and Lord's Supper, as some do all around the world, to remember the sacrifice that you gave us. To remember, Father, that you died for us, that you shed, your Son shed his blood for us, that we would have forgiveness, and that we would have a new life, an opportunity to live in a way that we've never lived before, to give, to sacrifice, to have compassion, to have empathy in ways that far supersede our own capacity, but are generated and motivated because of your love for us. God, I pray we become a church more and more and more that is about family. And as we grow in family with one another, you'll continue to build up the family of believers. Father, as we take the fruit of the vine that represents your Son's blood and the bread that represents his body, let us remember these things and never forget. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.